thrown back into the events of Holy Week, we find ourselves confronted by familiar words, but in a different context. Jesus talks of many houses, mansions or dwelling places, and of leaving, going somewhere else, but at the same time, remaining. It's confusing, and sometimes difficult stuff. So what does it all mean? And what does any of it have to do with us? Hi, my name is Stuart, and I get to be the minister here at St Ninian's Church in Stonehouse. We are so glad that you have chosen to join us today from wherever you find yourself. Later in our time together, we will share in the Lord's Supper, and you are invited. So if you want to join us, then please have some wine and some bread or a suitable alternative to hand. I'm joined in our worship today by Stevie, so let's listen as she reads our scripture for us.
The reading this morning is taken from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it was not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip then said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it.
Acts chapter 7, verse 54 to 60. When they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him, and the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died.
This is the in-between moment. The Passover meal has been eaten, the words of the old story have been told, a new feast has been established, a new commandment has been given, and Judas is gone. The crumbs of the bread and the stains of the wine are still on the table. The floor is still damp with the splashes of washed feet. A wet towel lies discarded in the corner. As Jesus begins to talk about what has happened, what is about to happen, and what will happen after that. Incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. It seems like a pretty straightforward cycle. Incarnation, the Word, the Son becomes flesh, the person of Jesus, crucifixion. Jesus is killed on a cross, dead, buried in a tomb. Resurrection, on the third day, death is defeated and life is restored. Jesus is risen. Ascension, the Son returns to the side of the Father. As Jesus explains it all, there are some very confused people. Their minds are still reeling from his astonishing act of service and the talk of betrayal. Jesus is talking about things they don't quite understand, partly because some of these things have not happened yet. This farewell discourse has begun, and it will only make sense in hindsight. Once the grim events of Friday's execution and the joys of Sunday's resurrection happen, but after that, Jesus will return to be with God, to complete the cycle. But that's not quite right. That's not quite how the story ends. And it's a mistake to think that the story of Jesus is about God's brief visit to slum it with humanity before returning to a palace in the sky. If we think that, we've completely missed the point. Some of the language that we are left with isn't very helpful at all. However famous it has become. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. It sounds like the ultimate gated community, doesn't it? With each of us getting some kind of stately home. Jesus tells his friends that he is going somewhere else. And you know the way, because I am the way, he says. You know me, and so you know the Father. But that all seems a bit far off. Talk of things to come. And it all seems a bit gloomy when we read it right in the middle of Holy Week. The only place Jesus is going anytime soon is to the sham of a trial, on a cross, on a garbage dump. Why would we want to follow him? Who would want to follow him there? But we don't live in Holy Week. We are a resurrection people, remember? Jesus is risen. That's our reality, and it's good to be reminded of it, especially as Easter Day fades into our memories. We're plunged back into Holy Week in our reading from John's Gospel today, and it's so easy to go back to those disconcerting feelings of impending doom, as the darkness that we feel on Maundy Thursday when Jesus is arrested and betrayed set in. But here in this last conversation, Jesus is talking about big things, important things, good things, things about life and light, even as the night gathers. But we are not those disciples gathered in that upper room. We live in the light of resurrection. So what does this have to say to us here and now? The first thing to say is that it absolutely is for us, for you and for me, in the here and now. John 14 is often read at funerals, because part of what Jesus is doing is giving comfort to people who are about to witness his death. He tells them that they will be where he will be. When he tells them that they will be where he is, we so often see that as a future thing. Because Jesus talks of his Father's house and coming back and showing them the way. We read that as heaven, a place up in the sky, a place where we will be after death, a place where we will live with God forever. And that's good, and it's true, and it's helpful. But that doesn't offer much for us in the here and now, does it? Promises of future reward and death, that can be a slippery slope. Behave or you'll go to the bad fire. That doesn't sound, though, like the actions of truth and life. What should we make then of all this talk of my Father's house and its many rooms? We're being encouraged to make ourselves at home in God, just as God has been at home among us. Abiding places is probably a much better translation. It gives us a much better sense of the spaciousness of God's kingdom, of rest, of that sense of being at home. Be at home in God. But why? Well, because God is at home in you. John's gospel is about so much more than a joining up of a circle. God comes to us in the person of Jesus. That's called incarnation. Jesus is crucified and dies for us, defeating sin and death, and rises again from the grave. And when Jesus ascends to God's right hand, that's not really about a place, at least not in the way that we think of it in terms of location. Yesterday's coronation events are perhaps a helpful illustration. We talk about kings ascending to the throne. That's only one or two steps up. It's not somewhere else. Kings and queens are crowned in the midst of their people with the permission of the people. Ascension is much more about identity than it is about location. Jesus is with God. And God is the King of Kings, and so we imagine God to be as high up as it's possible to be, because where God is must be heavenly. But surely the place for God to be enthroned is in our hearts. High above the other things that we hold dear. And wouldn't that change who we are and how we live? Jesus, though, is the king who knelt and washed his friends' feet, a servant king, the model for all, including earthly kings and rulers. So God is at the feet of the least, serving those in need, befriending those who are lonely, loving those who are unlovely. Location matters just as much because it's where we will find God, not elsewhere, but here, among us. Shortly, we will join together in the Lord's Supper, the Holy Eucharist, communion. That last name for the sharing of bread and wine gives us an insight into what is happening when we eat and drink together. The bread and the wine represent Christ. When we eat and drink, the bread and the wine become part of us. And we become part of them. Not separate, not divided, but joined in a way that cannot be distinguished from us. And because they are food, the bread and the wine give us energy. They empower us and sustain us. God abides in us. And you, and the people around you, just as we abide in God. We embody God in the world. In our reading from Acts, we see Stephen being martyred. He was stoned to death in the middle of his vision of Jesus at God's right hand. 2,000 years later, we see the promise of paradise. 2,000 years later, we see the promise of paradise following martyrdom used to trick people into doing the most horrendous things. That's not what Jesus is talking about. It's not what happens to Stephen either. It's not even what martyr means. Martyr means witness. Stephen sees Jesus. He witnesses Jesus, the Son, sitting beside God the Father. And witnesses testify to what they've seen. Stephen confirms what Jesus says in our gospel today. It's true. I've seen it. He says, the people listening can't even bear the thought that it could be possible. Because, well, that would mean that they had a hand in killing the Messiah, that they crucified the Son of God. Better to kill the witness than to face the possible truth. How could you be forgiven for that? And standing there approving of all that happens, holding the coats is a young man called Saul. Saul will later encounter the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. His life will be completely transformed by the love of God. He will be known as Paul, and through his mission, the church was grown. It's Paul's words. Paul, who once stood and watched as a witness to Jesus, was killed. These are his words that we will read. In describing the tradition of this, the Lord's Supper, where all are invited and all are included, and everyone finds a home. The feast that Paul has witnessed and testified to, so that we too can be a part of it. What we come to realise is that through God's continued presence in us, we are part of the resurrection presence of God in the world. We are empowered to embody and reveal the story of God's love to the world. We are God's witnesses, testifying to what we have seen and heard, what we have experienced in our own lives and seen in the lives of others. As St. Teresa of Avila most famously wrote, "Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses the world." Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on the world. Christ has no body. No body on earth but yours.
Christ, the author of all things, every
This is the Lord's table. The Lord Jesus invites us to share in this joyful feast. From east and west, from north and south, people will come and take their place at the banquet of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary, all whose load is heavy, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your soul." The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray. O God, by the blood of your dear Son, you have consecrated for us a new way of living into the holiest of all. Let us pray. O God, by the blood of your dear Son, you have consecrated for us a new and living way into the holiest of all. Assure us of your mercy and sanctify us by your heavenly grace, that we, approaching you with pure heart and cleansed conscience, may offer to you a sacrifice in righteousness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Out of the fullness of your gifts, O God, we make our offering to you and present this bread and wine at your table. For all things come from you, and of your own do we give you back. Blessed be your holy name forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper according to St. Paul. The tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." As the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart from all common uses, to this holy use and mystery. And as he gave thanks and blessed, let us draw near to God and offer him our prayers of thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. For it is right to give him thanks and praise. It is indeed right. It is our duty and joy at all times and in all places to give thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God. We give you thanks that in the creation of the world, when you laid the earth's foundation and set its cornerstone in place, the morning stars sang in chorus and the angels of God all shouted for joy. By the power of your Holy Spirit, you made the universe. By the might of your word, you gave us life. We give you thanks that in the new creation, when you gave your Son to raise us up again, since we and all our human race had fallen, you claimed us for your own people, that we might proclaim the glorious deeds of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvellous light. By the life of your Spirit, you fill the hearts of the faithful. By the light of your word, you have given us strength and love. And today, especially, we give you thanks for the glorious resurrection of your Son. He who was dead is alive again and lives forevermore. By his death, he has destroyed the power of death. By his rising again, he has opened the way to your kingdom and brought us the gift of eternal life. By his victory over the grave, the long reign of sin is ended. The world is being renewed. and we are once again made whole. Therefore, with your people in all places and all times, and with the whole company of heaven, we sing of your greatness, and we sing your praise in the angel's song. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In tune with all the heavenly hosts, we here on earth acknowledge your glory and give you thanks that in the fullness of time you sent your Son to be our Saviour. We bless you for his incarnation among us, his holy birth, his perfect life on earth, his suffering for us and his triumph over death, for his ascension to your right hand and his gift of the Holy Spirit, and for the promise of his coming again. Remembering his work and his passion and pleading his eternal sacrifice, we follow his example and obey his command. So send down your Holy Spirit to bless us and these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread which we break may be for us the communion of the body of Christ, and the cup of blessing which we bless, the communion of the blood of Christ, and that we receiving them may be by faith partakers in his body and blood, with all his benefits, to nourish us and to help us grow in grace to the glory of your most holy name. And here we offer and present to us our very selves, to be a living sacrifice, dedicated and fit for your acceptance through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, with him, in him, and in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Holy things of God, for the holy people of God. Only Jesus is holy. We are made holy in him. According to the institution, the example and command of our Lord Jesus Christ, and as a memorial of him, we do this, who on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new command, the new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink this, do it in memory of me." Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for you, and his blood, which was shed for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who find refuge in him. Take and eat. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this, remembering him. This cup is the new covenant sealed by Christ's blood, which was shed that the sins of many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you, and remember him. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the love which brings us as food from heaven the life of your dear Son, and assures us that we belong to the company of all his faithful people in heaven and on earth. Grant that strengthened by this fellowship and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we may continue his work in the world until we come to the glory of your eternal kingdom. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, and our Lord. Glory to God the Father, who brought back from dead our Lord Jesus Christ, and crowned him with glory and honour. Glory to God the Son, who lives to plead our cause at the right hand of God, and who will come again to make all things new. Glory to God the Holy Spirit, who brings us the taste of the good word of God and the power of the age to come. Praise and glory, wisdom, thanksgiving and honour, power and might be to the Lord forever. Amen.
Loving God, we are gathered together in worship of you. Still our hearts in prayer as we focus our minds towards your promise of love for us. We pray for ourselves, for this congregation of believers, each at a different stage of life and faith, thriving, struggling, wondering, hoping and trusting. Grant us the grace to meet each person where they are, not where we think they should be. We pray for our communities, for our families, friends, children, parents, neighbours and enemies, each one your child, and our siblings through the love of Christ. Grant us the power to love all others as you love us. We pray for our church and all your communities of faith. In these times of declining numbers, as Christianity fights for relevance in many nations around the world, grant us the wisdom to remember the purpose of your church, not numbers, but salvation in your name. We pray for our world as the planet continues to bear the wounds inflicted upon it by our waste, our arrogance, our inability to see the beauty of your creation, and our constant misuse of the resources given to us. Grant us the boldness to see the error of our ways, to act now before it is too late. For all these things we pray in the words you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honour all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God be with you. The blessing of the Creator, the blessing of the Son, the blessing of the Spirit, now and always. Amen.
May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. Lord, make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.